Okay, so today's vad firstly is Zeich Nishmas Reuven Chaim ben Mordechai, Mordechai Klein's father. Who, he has Yahrzeit this week. I don't remember which day. Which day
say
is Yahrzeit?
Say it again.
Huh? I just said Shabbos. So the Yahrzeit is Shabbos, again for Reuven Chaim ben Mordechai. We're going to switch gears now, and that makes my preparation get a little more difficult, but we're going to go into the actual Be'er HaTfilah. And I wasn't sure where to start, where to go, start with Shemoneh Esrei, start with other parts, and eventually I just said, you know what, davening is something that builds, so we'll start with the beginning, and we'll go through to the best we can through davening. The different svarim that I'm using to put this together are five different ones. I'm using the Nefesh Shimshin from Rav Pinkus, I'm using Rav Schwab on davening, I'm using Rabbi Sparrow by Touch by a Prayer. I'm making the most of prayer. I forgot whose that is. And then Rav Wolfson from the Service of the Heart. So hopefully I'll be able to combine them. And I'm not necessarily going to touch on every line of every single tefillah, but the ones that are either easier to explain, or as you'll see next week, I leave out half of Adon Olam because it's a little more Kabbalah verse. Being able to go through it. So we're going to start with Moda Ani. And the obvious question is, what's the best part of waking up? And there are those that would answer, as the commercial says, that's it, Folgers in your cup. What's our focus when we wake up? And we, as most of us stop and think, our focus is ourselves. How did I sleep? Am I still tired? How do I feel? What do I need to do today? The focus is on me. So Chazal instituted that the first word we say in the morning is Moda. And then we say Ani. And that is basically what we're doing, is we're focusing first on Hashem. And instead of saying, how am I feeling, we're saying, thank you, Hashem, for how I am. And in this way, we begin our day properly in the right way. Because the way we start our day is what will help carry us through this day. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains, this reminds us that we're in Eved Hashem. And we're doing things throughout our day because of this. It's not, I want to learn, I want to give tzedakah. It's, I'm learning or I'm doing mitzvos because Hashem said to do it. So we say, Modeh, I admit that I am yours, and that's how we start our day. The second word we say is Ani, that even though we're in Eved, we still are Ani, we live with a cheshek, with a desire, with a rotzon, a willpower that to serve Hashem. As opposed to regular avodim who lose that desire of life as time goes on, because at the end of the day, who are they? They're just an Eved. We have that desire of life, and that's what we're saying, that Ani, I'm still a someone, even though I'm an Eved to Hashem. We say Lefanecha, to remind us that immediately we open our eyes, we're standing before Hashem. It's not when I get to Shul, it's not when I start Brachos, but immediately we're standing before Him. Melechai V'kayum. Now, we all know and believe that there's a Creator in this world. But it becomes a little more philosophical at times because it's hard to picture it. He doesn't sit across the table from us. He's not in conversation with us. So therefore we say, Melechai, he's a living God, that he's alive. And with that, that's the basis of our Munah and our Bertachon, that when we think about him in such a way, we are able to feel that he's listening to us and he's loving us more than we can imagine, and therefore have no reason to ever really be worried or sad. And V'kayim is that he's always living, whether we consciously are focused on it or we're not focused on it. He's always there, he's always alive. And in Rosh Hashanah we say, V'yatahu melech kel chai v'kayim, which is a highlight of Rosh Hashanah's davening, and yet, on a daily basis, the first thing we say is that he's the melech chai v'kayim. Shechzarta bi nishmasi. So now that we've gotten the opening thoughts out and the feelings are in the right place, we now turn and say, thank you, Hashem, for giving back our neshamos. And the problem that we have when we say these words is that we don't really appreciate the gift of life, the gift of Chaim. And we have to realize that without life, there would have been no Avos, there would have been no Moshe Rabbeinu, no Vilna Gaon. We wouldn't be able to acquire any Nitzchias through doing even the smallest of mitzvos. They say, imagine if someone saved someone's life or saved a family member's life, how grateful we would be, we would always be. It wouldn't just be a momentary, oh, you know, thank you so much. But every time we would see the person, how grateful we would feel. And even more so to Hashem, because they say when one sleeps, there's a sakana for death. Reason being is our body, our heart slows down. Some of the bodily functions don't happen at night. And therefore, it's not so simple that in the morning, suddenly everything goes back to normal. And we need to feel that real Hakaras HaTov Hashem, that he's doing a Tchias HaMeisim to us each and every morning. And the Medrash tells us that when a person entrusts an item to another person, he has someone watch something for him, you can never be certain that this watchman is going to return the object. He might be the most trustworthy person. There's always a chance. He'll decide to, not to return it, deny it ever happened. But with Hashem, he returns our neshama almost every single day. Not only does he return it, but he cleans it for us. He purifies them each night. And the Chasam Sofer explains this Medrash, and he says, the Medrash it works like this. It says, we're guardians of the neshama Hashem gives us. He's entrusting us every day. And we're expected to keep it pure and clean. And he says, imagine you lend someone your shirt for the day, and the guy gives it back to you at night with a huge stain. Surprised? You clean it the best you can, you get the stain out. The next day he comes back and says, can I borrow that shirt again? You're going to be gracious, you lend it again. And he returns it with more stains. And this happens again and again. Sounds pretty ungrateful. And at some point, you're going to say, enough of this. You take it every day, you give it back a mess. I'm not doing this yet. Hashem lends us our neshamas every day, and very ungratefully, we dirty them and return it in that fashion, day after day after day. And each day, Hashem says, I'm going to lend it to you again. And what the Medrash is teaching us, says the Chasam Sofer, is that Hashem never gets frustrated the way a person would. He never says, sorry, enough, you can't have this back anymore. But he continues to have the confidence in us that no matter how many times we've dirtied the neshama, that, today is going to be a different day. Today the neshama is not going to, not going to be that way. And for that, we're saying, Moda'ani, Shechzar to be neshmasi, that you gave it back and have that confidence in us. And then we conclude, Bechemla Rabba Munasecha, or Bechemla, to do the commas correctly, is Bechemla Rabba Munasecha. Now, if we would make a cheshbon of our deposits into our spiritual bank account versus our withdrawals, we'll find ourselves in the red pretty often. And it's only Bechemla, it's only with Hashem's mercy, that we get our neshamas back on a daily basis. And we don't have to worry and say, today he had Rachmanis, tonight when I go to sleep, who knows what's going to be, because Rabba Munasecha, he's full of mercy, he's full of this, and we're not concerned that we're going to run out. And we know that he therefore, since he believes in us, that no matter how many times we failed, there's always that next time Hashem's going to say, I believe you're going to get this right. And it's an encouraging way to start our day, knowing that there's someone rooting for us, someone that believes in us, that today is going to be a different, it's going to be a special day. And therefore, the best part of waking up is waking up. So moving now into davening. So Shimshon Pinkus tells us davening is really like a pyramid with four levels. The first level is Birchas HaShachar and Karbonos. The second level is Pesuka de Zimra. The third level is Kriya Shema and its brachos. The fourth level is Shemoneh Esrei. And he says, and the same thing is then leaving davening. The first level is Shemoneh Esrei. The second level is Ashrei Vol Tzion. The third level is the Shir Shel Yom. And the fourth level, which I don't have an explanation for Ashkenazim, is Ein Kelokeinu. So, and he explains also, he says, Tefillah is also similar to the Harabayis. He says there are four parts in the Harabayis. There's the actual Harabayis. The second part's the Azara, the third part's the Heichal, and the fourth part's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he says, just like the Kohen could not get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur without going through the other three parts first, and he also can't get out of it without then returning through those three parts, he says the same things with davening. One can't get to Shemoneh Esrei or leave from Shemoneh Esrei without getting through the first three parts or going through the last three afterwards. And he compares it, Rav Pinkus, again, to a ladder. He says, just like you have to climb the ladder rung by rung, you can't jump to a top of a ladder. You can't necessarily jump down without the chance of falling off the ladder. He says, the same is with davening. Our davening has to be step by step in order for us to get to what we need to do. And in order for us to climb the pyramid, we have to do it, each one properly. He gives another mashal. He says, imagine davening is like a train. And sometimes it certainly feels that way. But he says, imagine it's like a train, and you have to be there on time to catch it as a mensch. Otherwise, you have to quickly throw your bag on. You're jumping onto the train, and if you get off in middle, you're jumping off. You end up leaving your bags behind. So we have to, therefore, as we go into the davening, we have to make sure, obviously, that we're on this train or we're climbing this ladder from beginning to end properly and not just trying to jump in, because in that way, our davening will feel like a very different davening when we go in properly. Moving to Matovu, we're going to focus just on one pasuk. Va'nibrov chastecha avay beisecha. They bring down the name of the Arizal, that one who enters into the Beis Knesset, into the shul, you're supposed to stop a little bit before you enter into the shul. And you have to feel at that moment fear and awe that we're entering the palace of the Melech Olam, the king of the world, as the pasuk says, Mikdashi Tiro. And this is also what Achitofel was telling David HaMelech, Bevesel Kim Nahalech Berogesh, that one has to fear and tremble when you're entering the Beis Elokim, which is today the Beis Knesset. And the Arizal continues and says, as you're about to enter it, meaning before you walk in, he says, you're supposed to say this pasuk, V'ani b'rov chastecha avo beisecha. And you should have in mind that when you say the word chastecha, about the chesed ha'elyon, the great chesed, that we always need Hashem in our lives, and especially at this moment when we're entering into his palace to ask for our needs. And then, with that, we walk into shul. So we see from this Arizal that if we want to reach proper tefillah, as we've mentioned in the past, you have to prepare before you daven. It's not just rush in without any thought of where we're entering, without any thought of what we're coming to accomplish. But you have to pause for that moment. And in this way, we'll have the proper kavanas and the proper feelings. If Shimshon Pinkas gives the mashal, he says, imagine the first time you go to see a Gadol B'Yisrael. What do you feel like when you're walking in that first time to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Leib Steinman? What does it feel like? That fear, that awe that you have at that moment is what we're supposed to feel on a daily basis as we're about to enter into shul. So if we follow this Arizal and think like it, then as we stand at the door, we'll start to say, you know what? Who am I really to enter here? I'm full of aveiros. I have deficiencies. Yeah, am I really fit to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's why we then say this pasuk, to say it's only berov chastecha avo beisecha. It's only with the chesed, that chesed ha'elyon Hashem, that I'm able to come before you, that even though I have a slate of stuff that you would normally say, you know, get lost to, but still, that chesed, I'm able to come confidently before you and ask you for my, you know, whatever needs I have. And they bring from Rav Elimelech Zents that he used to have a little tefillah based on this Arizal that he would say at that moment right before he walked in, along a similar type of line of saying, you know what, you know, I have so much on my plate that, you know, that I don't belong here, and yet, you know, it's only with your chesed. And it doesn't matter what language the tefillah is in. It could be said, you know, whether it's in Hebrew, in English, whatever, you know, we're comfortable in and talking, and in this way, the tefillah we're about to start, it will not be similar to the tefillah we said yesterday. If it's a marv, it won't be like the mincha we just had. If it's a mincha, it won't be like a shachris. And in this way, if we develop these feelings and these thoughts, the davening, which then follows and builds, will be a very different davening. So now, we're going to close with our story and our homework. So I actually had a different story prepared, and then I got this email, which I thought was a very nice email that revolves somewhat around tefillah. And it has to do a little bit with thanking, so therefore I thought that I would read this email instead. And the email is titled, What Happens in Heaven When We Pray? So it says, I dreamed that I went to heaven and an angel was showing me around. We walked side by side into a large workroom filled with angels. My angel guide stopped in front of the first section and said, this is the receiving section. Here all the petitions to God said in prayer are received. I looked around in this area and was terribly busy with so many angels sorting out petitions written on voluminous paper sheets and scraps from people all over the world. Then we moved on down a long corridor until we reached the second section. The angel then said to me, this is the packaging and delivery section. Here are the graces and the blessings the people asked for that are being processed and delivered to the living persons who asked for them. I noticed again how busy it was there. There were many angels working hard at that station, since many blessings had been requested and were being packaged for delivery to Earth. Finally, at the farthest end of the long corridor, we stopped at the door of a very small station. To my great surprise, only one angel was seated there, idly doing nothing. This is the acknowledgement section, my angel friend quietly admitted to me. He seemed embarrassed. How is it that there is no work going on here, I asked. So sad, the angel sighed. If the people receive the blessings that they ask for, very few send back acknowledgments. How does one acknowledge God's blessings, I asked. Simple, the angel said. Just say, thank you, Hashem. What blessing should they acknowledge, I asked. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you receive this on your own computer, you are a part of the 1% in the world who has that opportunity. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the many who will not even survive the day. If you have never experienced the fear in battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 700 million people in the world. If you can attend a shul without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are envied by and more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If your parents are still alive and still married, you are very rare. If you can hold your head up and smile, you are not the norm. You are unique to all those in doubt and despair. Okay, what now? How can I start? If you can read this message, you just received a double blessing, in that someone was thinking of you as very special, and you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world who cannot read at all. Have a good day, count your blessings, and if you care to, pass this along to remind everyone else how blessed we all are. Attention, Acknowledgement Department. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the ability to share this message and for giving me so many wonderful people with whom to share it. And if you read it this far and are thankful for all that you have been blessed with, how can you not send it on? I thank God for everything, especially all my family and friends. And it's just, it's the thought of how true it is, how many times, you know, we, you know, ask Hashem for things and then, okay, Hashem responds and life goes on and there's never that return, you know, of that acknowledgement. And, you know, besides that, it's a nice email, the fact that it's sort of tied back to the idea of Moda'ani, of the acknowledgement, the thanking Hashem. So I thought that was very apropos. This week's homework, I'm going to tie into what we did today. The idea of working on the pausing at the door as we're about to walk into Shacharis and think about what we're going to do and then say the Vani Barov Chastacha.